Welcome to Today on Broadway for Wednesday, May 25th, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway star's James Marino.
James, for the second day in a row, we've got a ton of really big news, so I'm just going to remind the listeners to rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, et al. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And if you have any feedback or want to get involved with Broadway Radio, send us emails at James or Matt at BroadwayRadio.com. Not James or Matt, but James or Matt at BroadwayRadio.com. Okay, James, I screwed that up enough. Let's go ahead and get to the news.
What was that off-Broadway show, the Matt and Ben? Matt Damon and Ben Affleck show?
I do not recall that one.
You don't recall that? Uh-huh. Oh, we'll have to talk about that later. Okay. So we saw this coming a while ago, but unfortunately It's come to fruition. Tuck Everlasting is going to close this Sunday.
Yeah, we hate to start off an episode with bad news, but yesterday it was announced that the new musical Tuck Everlasting will play its final performance this Sunday, May 29th. As we've talked about before, the show just never broke out from a really crowded season to find an audience, only grossing an average of $316,678 during its eight-week run. The show has an incredible cast, including Andrew Keenan Bolger, Carolee Carmello, Terrence Mann, Michael Park, and it introduced 11-year-old Sarah Charles Lewis, who got a lot of really good reviews for her performance. When all is said and done this weekend, the show will have played 28 previews and 39 regular performances. While we're sad for everyone over at the Broadhurst, we hope that they have a great final week together and make it a special last few days.
Hear, hear. I'm laughing here because I didn't read the script, and it says James Marino to move to California for October and November. What the hell does that mean?
Well, normally you don't read those and you just skip over that. But after that bummer of a top story, this should get everyone, including James, back in good spirits. But yesterday, the producers of the upcoming Hedwig and the Angry Inch national tour announced that Lena Hall would reprise her Tony-winning role as Yitzhak opposite Darren Criss in San Francisco and Los Angeles from October 2nd through November 27th. But as exciting as that is, that's not even the biggest news out of this press release. When we told you that Criss would start the tour as Hedwig a few weeks ago, we mentioned that he would have an alternate play the part one performance each week. And with yesterday's announcement, we also learned that Criss's alternate would be Lena freaking Hall.
No way.
Yes way. Book writer and original Hedwig John Cameron Mitchell said in a press release, and this is not a misquote, I'm saying it as written, "Oh my goddess, Lena Hall is the only talent I know who could play a brilliant Yitzhak and Hedwig in the same production. Talk about finding your other half. It's Hedwig history in the making." Hall, a San Francisco native like Criss, said, "I have never been one to shy away from a challenge, and playing Hedwig has always been a dream of mine. To be able to play both Yitzhak and Hedwig in the same day presents one of the biggest challenges I have seen to date, and I'm so excited." In the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com, we will have a link to exactly which performances that Hall will be playing Hedwig at. And this is really, really cool. I'm really excited to see how this turns out. But more importantly, James, are you doing okay? Are you all right?
I have to breathe slowly. This is really awesome. I love Lena Hall, and I hope that the theaters have Dunkin' Donuts delivery near them because she's a big fan of Dunkin' Donuts and My Favorite Pony. So, you know, get out there and buy those tickets. They'll be harder to get than Hamilton. And then also on those weeks that Lena is not going to be playing the total run, I think that Lisa Goldberg is going to be taking over the role as well.
Her publicist. Yeah, that's it. Lisa was very excited when this announcement was made yesterday. But, you know, it's very hard to make a national tour have the oomph that a Broadway show does. First with the announcement of Criss a few weeks ago, and now with the announcement of Hall, they are making the Hedwig tour an event. So wherever it goes after San Francisco and L.A., I have a feeling they're going to continue kind of this big, not stunt, because I don't think these are stunts, because they both, you know, a bit, but these big name castings, like they did with the Broadway version of bringing in a different Hedwig every few months who had, bigger and bigger star power. So congratulations to the producers and John Cameron Mitchell, who's seen this show, you know, really go from, from dive bars in New York to being this huge big phenomenon across the country and finally getting a big national tour. So that's really exciting.
Oh, and the hits keep rolling in. Jake Gyllenhaal to lead Sunday in the Park concert.
Yeah, this is a rather major news day, but who would have thought that we could legitimately bump a story about Jake Gyllenhaal singing Sondheim down to third in a rundown? But we did it, because yesterday, New York City Center announced that huge mega movie star Jake Gyllenhaal will be playing George in a concert of Sondheim and James Lapine, Sunday in the Park with George, on October 24th. The concert will be a part of the company's annual gala and comes on the heels of Gyllenhaal leading last summer's City Center's off-center production of Little Shop of Horrors. If the demand of that show is any indication, it went from a one-night-only event to, I think, 3 nights. I would get your tickets quickly. They go on sale beginning today at noon at nyCityCenter.org, and they come for the bargain basement price of just $2,500. The prices go up all the way up to $200,000 for a table. Remember, this is a fundraising gala. This is not a straight audience show. So it's going to come at a high ticket cost if you want to see this. Perhaps, like they did with the off-center production of Little Shop of Horrors, they could add nights for a more traditional audience, you know, run. But who knows? I think it's also interesting. James, who do you got for Dot? Do you think they bring Ellen Green back to play Dot? Maybe Bernadette Peters? Stick with the original stars as Gyllenhaal's co-star and bring in Bernadette Peters to do Dot? I think they'll have to do something pretty big to go opposite Jake.
Be creepy if they brought in Maggie, right?
Yeah, it would be incredibly creepy. Yes, I thought about that, and then I was like, no, never mind. No. I was thinking more second act, it could work. First act, not so much.
Not so much. All right. Well, if you have a suggestion of who should be Dot, email us, and we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, good idea.
All right. The West End finds a new Adelaide.
They do. Sticking with the theme of movie stars taking to the stage, Pitch Perfect's Fat Amy and Ursula in the upcoming Hollywood Bowl production of The Little Mermaid, Rebel Wilson took to Twitter yesterday to announce that she would make her West End debut in the Phoenix Theater's currently running transfer production of Guys and Dolls. The Australian actress will take over the role of Miss Adelaide for 8 weeks from June to August. The role is currently played by Samantha Spiro, and Broadway and TV star Richard Kind is playing Adelaide's delinquent fiancé Nathan Detroit. There's been no word of other casting changes that might happen before, during, or after Wilson's run, but Rebel Wilson has been somebody who's been very clear about her desire to be on stage. She trained as a stage actress in Australia, and so this is very cool for her. For anybody who's loved those Pitch Perfect movies, as much as I love Anna Kendrick and she is the star of those movies, Rebel Wilson steals a lot of the scenes in those. So I'm very excited to see what she's like on stage.
I'm totally forgetting the whole sequence of events. Didn't we talk about Rebel Wilson recently?
Yeah, with the announcement about the Hollywood Bowl production of Little Mermaid, she's going to be opposite Sarah Bareilles, Norm Lewis, and Darren Criss again, and John Stamos. With that, she's going to be playing Ursula, and we talked about whether or not she'd ever come to Broadway. Obviously, this shows that she definitely is open to coming to and doing stage runs of things. This is a little different because this production played at, I believe, a festival in the UK and then transferred to the West End, and now she's going in to replace in it. So it's a little different than if she'd go and lead a production either in the West End or on Broadway, but nonetheless, getting her stage feet wet will hopefully bring her to New York soon.
Okay. In the non-traditional land of musical theater.
This is very non-traditional, yeah.
Very non-traditional. Def West is raising funds to perform on the Tonys.
Yeah, yesterday I listened to the latest episode of our friend Patrick Hines' Theater People podcast. Which is awesome. Patrick is the best. But he interviewed Andy Mientis, Alex Boniello, and one of the Broadway performers that I find the most fascinating, Krista Rodriguez. In their interview, they discussed the possibility of their revival of Spring Awakening performing on the Tonys. It is nominated for Best Revival, but it closed in January. The trio also said that they would love to do it, but the cost is really, really high to perform on the Tonys. There's a lot of logistical concerns about trying to get a bi-coastal cast together to rehearse. And since they're not currently running, trying to get, you know, a cast of made up of partially hearing and partially deaf actors to come together and put something together in a short amount of time is really, really difficult. Well, yesterday, Deaf West Theater launched a Kickstarter to make that dream a reality. The campaign is hoping to raise, wait for it, $200,000 by June 11th. They told Patrick that it would be a six-figure sum to make it work. At the time that we are recording, they are already up to over $15,540 with still 18 days to go. The campaign offers rewards from social media shout-outs to an invitation to the Spring Awakening Tony Night Party in New York City. James, I don't have an extra $200K laying around, but if I did, I could be convinced to donate to this cause. I have never really been a huge Spring Awakening fan, and I didn't get to see this revival. But from the time this was announced in its very first incarnation in LA, there was something that I found really special and really compelling about this production, and I've kind of been captivated by it ever since. So I'm crossing my fingers, and I might chip in, not $200,000, but I might chip in some money to get them on CBS in June.
Shocking as this might be, I don't think $200,000 is enough money to get on the Tony Awards.
Well, I don't know if this is necessarily the entire cost. I think the producers will probably kick in some as well. I think this is probably supplemental.
Ah, I see what you're saying. And we won't read out the big, huge, long URL.
I'm not doing that anymore. You chastised me last time I did that for the Ensemble slideshow.
We will link to it in the show notes. So if you want to join this this Kickstarter as well, check it out. It's really awesome. And I hope that they do something positive comes out of this.
Absolutely.
So showcasting and announcements, what's going on?
Yeah, last night was a big night for two different shows. First, the Tony-winning production of Fun Home welcomed back to two of its original stars as Judy Kuhn and Emily Skeggs returned to the show after a pair of hiatuses, or hiati, which is, I don't know. I took Latin for 2 years in high school, but I couldn't tell you. Anyway, Skeggs was filming ABC's upcoming drama about LGBT civil rights called When We Rise, and Kuhn underwent hip surgery. Lauren Patton and Rebecca Luker filled in during the stars' absences, but it's very cool to welcome back those original stars to the Fun Home. Also last night, the Public Theater launched its latest season of Shakespeare in the Park with an all-female production of The Taming of the Shrew. The cast is loaded with talent and features Cush Jimbo, Janet McTeer, Donalyn Champlin, Judy Gold, got her name right this time, Latanya Richardson-Jackson, Anne L. Nathan, Gail Rankin, and many more. It's directed by Phyllida Lloyd, and the show is, of course, free at the Delacorte Theater and runs through June 26th. James, I've told you about this off-air, but I got to interview Dame Judi Dench last week, and the article is going to go up on Broadway World today. And I asked her if there were any Shakespearean male roles that she would like to play. I'm not going to tell you what she said, but check out that article later today. And if you're lucky, if you behave, maybe you'll get to hear the audio of that interview in a certain podcast feed coming soon.
So Dame Judi Dench, if she did like a Broadway backwards with Sir Patrick Stewart, they could have their pick of the litter. They could pretty much do anything and people would buy tickets to it and it would be financially successful.
I think that's probably a fair assumption, yes.
All right, what does Mr. Riedel have to say?
Michael Riedel, the bane of many Broadway actors' existence. He has another article about Hamilton that came out last night that's not exactly pumping up everybody's favorite hip-hop musical. Basically, the article covers some ground that isn't really news. He talks about it's how it's not very likely that Hamilton will break the all-time Tony win records that's currently held by the producers. I think that's kind of been assumed at this point. A lot of people are favoring Cynthia Erivo over Philippa Sue in the lead actress in a musical category. There's a tough competition between Andy Blankenbuehler and Savion Glover in the choreography category. And then some of the costume and design elements are not guaranteed wins for Hamilton. So that's not new. What is new, though, is that Riedel cites some unnamed producers about maybe some of the Tony voters aren't giving Hamilton as much credit as they normally would like to because of the actors' push to share in the show's profits. An unnamed producer said, "Actors are not entitled to profits. They're entitled to a paycheck, but we take the risk." James, I have a feeling that this quote is not going to go over well in the Broadway community. To me, that just sounds so counterproductive to say, even, you know, on background, but leave it to good old Michael Riedel to stir the pot a little more.
It's inflammatory, and that's what sells clicks. I don't know. It sells newspaper. We're talking about dead trees anymore, you know? Yeah. Okay, so if you have an opinion about that, email us and let us know. Maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow as well.
Yeah, and he also talks about some other categories, everything from Danny Burstein to John Doyle and George C. Wolfe, and about how they stack up in some of their categories. So it's a good read. I mean, Riedel is nothing if not informed, but it's just one of those things where, man, he had to go there with that quote.
Yeah, exactly. All right, why don't you get us out of here?
All right, thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio, and you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt, and subscribe to Something Like a Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. We'll have a new Listapalooza coming out later this week.
And my name is James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thanks so much for listening to us. Please leave us a review on iTunes, and we will talk to you tomorrow.